Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Sankarshan thus spoke the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam to the great sage Sanat Kumar, who had already taken the vow of renunciation. Sanat Kumar also, in his turn, when inquired of by Sankhyayana Muni, explained Srimad Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Sankarshan. This is the way of the parampara system. Although Sanat Kumar, the well-known great saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life, still he heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Sankarshan. Similarly, when he was questioned by Sankhyayan Rishi, he spoke to him the same message he had heard from Lord Sankarshan. In other words, unless one hears from the proper authority, one cannot become a preacher. In devotional service, therefore, two items out of the nine, namely hearing and chanting, are most important. Without hearing nicely, one cannot preach the message of Vedic knowledge. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you all for coming. And first of all, before I start, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas assembled here today and assembled online, and also everybody else, so I can say something useful for my own purification and for my own understanding, but also share something that is in the purport. Usually, when Prabhupada writes a purport, he usually sticks around one or two themes that's been going around. So when I was being taught how to give class, I was told, well, you try and pick out what Prabhupada is speaking, and usually it's two or three things, and then you just speak on those, you can expand on those. I think in today's verse, the themes are, there's definitely parampara there. Prabhupada is talking about parampara and how that functions. He's also talking about hearing and chanting and how that is a basis of parampara. And he's also talking about hearing from proper authority and about preaching. So back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean when Lord Krishna was around, he would go around stealing butter, as was, you know, that's what the kids used to do for fun back then. Nowadays they play video games, but back then they used to steal butter, something more useful. So Krishna used to go around stealing butter. And so what the gopis used to do is they used to hide the butter up high so they couldn't reach it. But that wasn't going to deter the boys, was it? So what they used to do is something what they still do in many parts of India on Janmashtami. They form a pyramid. Is that what it's called? When you have a group of boys at the bottom, and then some of them climb on top of their shoulders, and some of them climb on top of their shoulders, until one person who is right at the top can reach the yogurt or the butter, whatever is in the pot, take it off the hook, and then slowly pass it down. And then when it comes down, everyone can eat it. Okay? So to me, that reminds me of parampara. Okay? It's like a parampara system going on there. Because we cannot reach Krishna. Okay? Krishna is too far. But we can reach Krishna through the acharyas, through our teachers. Okay? You are not tall enough to reach high enough to get the butter, okay, to get the nectar from Krishna. But somebody else above you can, because they are connected to somebody else above them, all the way up there. And then slowly it's handed down, okay, step by step, so you get the full pot down at the bottom. So parampara is pretty much like that. And that's what Prabhupada is talking about, that you may be not qualified to be connected to Krishna yet, because you are still practicing Krishna consciousness, isn't it? But it is important to get that message delivered from Krishna to you somehow. But how do you get that message from Krishna when you're not qualified to hear from Krishna because you're still on the way? Well, maybe there's somebody else who's more qualified than you, and that is your spiritual master. But it doesn't end there, because your spiritual master is also a disciple of his spiritual master, and there is someone obviously more qualified than him. And then, like that, you go back all the way, and that is Krishna, and that is the parampara system, that it comes down all the way from top. You may not be qualified completely, and that is why if you learn the guru-disciple course that is being taught everywhere in the world right now, it tells you clearly, the GBC has made the guidelines clear. The spiritual master does not need to be self-realized. He does not need to be liberated. He does not need to be on the absolute highest platform of devotional service. He just needs to be connected. Okay, and this is the beauty of the parampara. You may not be qualified, but you can still get the nectar from up top, because it is handed down right all the way coming down through the parampara. So you can get these instructions, you can be qualified, even though you are unqualified. That is the beauty of the parampara. Obviously, everybody has to meet certain basic qualifications, and these qualifications are stated by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. Okay, the first verse, he explains all these qualifications, you can read it. But he does not say that someone needs to be self-realized, he does not say that someone needs to be liberated. He just says that these are the basic things. Anyone remember that verse? First verse of the Nectar of Instruction? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapasta vegam, etan vegan, yo vishaheta dhira sarvan apimam prithimim shishyat. So, one needs to have certain basic qualifications, and hence one will be able to get this knowledge and be fulfilling in that role. Okay? And then one can get the knowledge from the parampara. Think of it a little bit like a train, okay? So if you go on a train in this country, you can travel first class or you can travel second class. If you go to India, you can even travel third class. Okay, you can even, some people I've seen on Indian trains, they even sit inside the toilet. Some people sit on the floor. Some people sit on the roof. Okay, the point is, you don't have to be connected to the engine directly. Anywhere you are on the train, you will get to your destination, because ultimately, through a chain, it is connected to the engine. So this is the parampara system, that you may not be qualified, but as long as you are connected to the right place through your spiritual master, who is also qualified, through his spiritual master, who is also qualified, ultimately, you will be able to connect to the Supreme Lord. Okay, and here there's an interesting thing that Prabhupada mentions. He says that even though Sanat Kumar was in the perfect stage of life, even though he was in the perfect stage of life, he still heard the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sometimes we read a lot, we know a lot, and we can quote a lot of verses, and we think we've understood the Bhagavatam. And sometimes we start thinking, I don't need to listen to anybody else. I don't need to listen to Bhagavatam class. Sometimes you make calculations in your mind when you see a Bhagavatam speaker. Yeah, listen to him. Don't want to listen to that guy. So once Keshav Maharaj, who's rightly arrived in the room, told me that You don't need to judge based on who is speaking. Everybody who is speaking is representing the Bhagavatam. And then whatever you hear is the message of Krishna coming through that person. So don't make judgment saying, I'll listen to him, I won't listen to him. Obviously, we need to have certain discretion, but we're assuming that when someone sits on the Vyasasan, that discretion has been made by somebody else, whether they're qualified to speak or not. In the same way, if you are practicing Krishna consciousness, we should hear, we should never think, we know enough, I know better than this person, so I won't listen to him, and this person is obviously more elevated, so I can listen to him, like that. So my understanding from that is, don't make those distinctions, because in this verse Prabhupada is saying that although Sanat Kumar, the well-known saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life. Perfect stage of life means he's there. Perfect means perfect. There's no more, well, there is more perfect and most perfect. But at the same time, he was in the perfect stage of life. Still, he was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Another interesting thing Prabhupada also mentions is he relates parampara with hearing and chanting. So this, he says there are 9 aspects of devotional service, and of these 9, the first 2 are very important, hearing and chanting, which means you hear and then you repeat what you heard, which is also same as the parampara. So these are the most important things. You hear from your superiors, you understand, you introspect, you learn. Okay, this is another question that comes up, that people ask that, do I find a spiritual master or does the spiritual master find me? Okay, and you hear this a lot. Do I find the spiritual master will find me, isn't it? I'll just hang around, practice Krishna consciousness, and it is a guru who will find you. Well, according to the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tad viddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. The first verse is, go and find a spiritual master. Krishna is telling you, go and find a spiritual master. Okay? In the Rig Veda it is said, Tad vigyanartham sa gurum eva bigachet samit panim shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Go find a spiritual master, take samit, firewood with you, and approach him. You approach the spiritual master with firewood, and you ask him, I want to render service unto you, and then you learn, and that's how you practice. You go find a spiritual master. He's not going to find you, okay? If he is, I don't know if there is a quote somewhere, but I haven't come across it. But the impetus is on you. Go and find a spiritual master because you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. So you go find and you hear from the spiritual master. But there also needs to be service, okay? Pariprasnena sevaya. Ask questions from all around, pariprasna, like parikrama, all around the subject, you ask questions to the spiritual master. But don't just keep asking questions, because then all you're doing is you're asking the spiritual masters to serve you. Okay? Here is my question. Why don't you answer my question? Okay? Here is another question. Why don't you answer that one? And have this doubt and have that doubt. You answer all my questions. That is asking the spiritual master, well, why don't you serve me? Now, asking questions is important, because that is our process. If you read the whole Bhagavad Gita, if you read the Bhagavatam, or even if you pick up any of the Puranas, you can pick up the Garuda Purana, you can pick up the Padma Purana, almost every single scripture that we have is all about somebody asking questions. So asking questions is an important element of our learning process, because that is the parampara. The hearing, because you need to hear. And you hear when you ask questions. If you don't ask questions, then you don't hear. Okay? But what is also important is the service, because then you also have to render service to the spiritual master. Because rendering service means that you are becoming humble. It means you are positioning yourself at a lower point than the spiritual master, because you'd only serve somebody who you consider higher than you. So even though you're asking questions, rendering service is very important, because you are offering service to the spiritual master. So there's 3 things in the process. First, you approach a spiritual master, then you render service, and then you ask questions. And all 3 should be there if you want to make progress, because that is connecting you to the parampara. Okay? So parampara means hearing and chanting. You hear from the spiritual master, and you heard it, but then the next stage is that you also need to teach it to somebody. Okay, that's what this month was all about. You hear, hearing and chanting, you hear, and then you chant it. And chant doesn't mean, like Srila Prabhupada explains, that kirtan does not mean just singing Hare Krishna with musical instruments. Kirtan also, kirtan means, the word kirtan means to glorify the Lord. So however you glorify him. As far as the parampara is concerned, this preaching is very essential. Because if you hear, but you don't teach, then the parampara doesn't go ahead. Okay? It stops there if you stop teaching. So just for the sake of keeping the parampara going ahead, you should preach. Okay? And share Krishna consciousness with somebody else. Because if you don't, who will? And if everybody thinks that, then if everybody thinks somebody else is going to do it, then no one's going to do it. So it is essential in the parampara to hear from the spiritual master and then teaching it to somebody. Sometimes we have this concept that in Krishna consciousness, we give everybody a label, isn't it? When we see the devotees, you see somebody and go, oh, he's a preacher. Okay, he's a preacher. And what that automatically does is, he's a preacher, I'm not a preacher, I do something else. Okay? The point is, if you're in the parampara, then everybody is a preacher. Because that's what parampara means. You hear from your spiritual master and you teach it to somebody else. So you teach, so you don't think that somebody else is a preacher, the boys in the ashram who wear orange are the preachers, the ladies who stay in the ashram are preachers, but I'm not a preacher because somebody else is doing that job. And obviously I can't go and stay in the ashram, hence I can't preach. So that is not the case. The point is, if you're in the parampara, you're automatically inheriting that role of a preacher, because parampara means hearing and repeating. You hear from your spiritual master and then you teach it to somebody else. And if you teach it to one person, you're doubling the movement. If you preach it, if you share it with two people, you're tripling the movement. Okay, and if they go and preach it to one or two people, the movement expands exponentially. Okay, and the parampara carries on. If nobody teaches to anybody, then it doesn't go ahead. When I was in the ashram, at one point I remember in 2012 or 13 or something, we had 30 or 35 people staying in the ashram. And it was great because the ashram's not so big. So it was always busy, it's always packed. There's like 10 other people with you in the room, sleeping at night. So it was a bit austere, but it was very lively and it was very enlivening, so many people in the ashram. Now, I don't think there's that many. There's not quite 30 or 35, but there's a few. And if the preaching is left to only the people in the ashram, well, the way things are going, looking at history, in the 70s, I guess there were 100 people in the ashram. About 10 years ago, there were about 30. Now, I don't know, Parama, how many people in the ashram? 12, 15? 18, 20, okay, well, it's still going down. I think give it another 10 years, I think it'll just be Paramakaruna in the ashram. and Srinivas, yeah, Srinivas will definitely be there. He's not going anywhere. So the way things are going, and if Parama's the only person left to preach, then he's going to struggle a little bit. So the point is that if you're in the parampara, you inherit the right and the duty to share Krishna consciousness. And it's also good for your own personal development as well. Hearing and chanting and repeating. Now, what if you can't preach? Let's look at some things, because Prabhupada talks about preaching here. And this month we've all been, well, a lot of us have been traveling, sharing Krishna consciousness. I haven't done that much this year. But we're still preaching in some way or another. And because we're talking about preaching, I just wanted to say, what do you think are the different reasons people give why they can't preach? Let's go through some. What do you think? Devarshi Prabhu.
It's not my nature.
It's not my nature. That's very interesting. It's not my nature. What other ones? What other ones do we have?
Time.
We don't have time. We don't have time to share Krishna. Is that a valid reason, you think? Could be, isn't it? Don't have time. Chandra Chaitanya Prabhu. I'm scared of talking to people on the street or at the door. Okay, we had a few hands. Some
person told me that I will practice for 40 years, then I become perfect, then I will preach.
Yeah, well, you'll be waiting for a long time. I hope that's what you told him. If he's waiting to be perfect.
Fake it and you'll make it.
Yeah. Good. Okay, so wait till you're old and you're perfect before you can preach. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
We are doing violence if I'm not preaching. Because the violence is increasing due to the message is not going to everyone.
Okay, that's a good point. I'm just looking for reasons what people give. Why? Yes, Vishvesh Prabhu.
Sometimes people are not receptive, so we feel that we are telling, but they are not ready to receive.
We are telling them what they're not ready to receive. Okay, interesting. Govinda Prabhu?
It's an invasion of privacy.
Invasion of privacy, isn't it? I definitely feel like that. I don't feel like that so much on the street book distribution, but door to door. One of the lady in the corner. Okay, an ego, it hurts your ego. When people say no, you feel like they're rejecting you, so it hurts your ego. It happens a lot on book distribution, isn't it? You have to get used to that. Dilan Prabhu?
Your circumstances change, like you're no longer in the ashram, now you're a householder. So
yeah, you're not in the ashram anymore, you're staying outside, so... Carlos Prabhu, last one. Okay, you think you don't know enough to be able to share Krishna consciousness.
You're not preaching it because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't preach because you don't think you know enough. Okay, now here's, Prayojan Prabhu, sorry.
Teach by example.
Teach by example, yes, definitely. Definitely you should teach by example. Now, I think that a lot of times when we think about preaching, we are thinking of all the standard ways that we can preach. And then we think that if that doesn't work for me, then I can't preach. Well, I can't distribute books because I don't have time to go out on book distribution. I'm too scared to stop people on the street. I don't want to infringe on their privacy while they're going about shopping about their day, which is going to happen a lot today, actually, because it's Boxing Day, biggest shopping day of the year. Then you think of other standard ways. Well, yeah, that's there, but I can't go on Harinam because I can't sing. And then you think, what else? What else? We looked at a lot of different reasons, didn't we? And we often think about the standard ways of preaching. And if we don't fit into that mold, then we can't preach. That's what we often end up thinking. Now, one of the things is that if... Now, book distribution is definitely very good. I did it for many years in the ashram, but it's not the only way to do things. And the idea is to share Krishna consciousness in whichever way you can. The Christians have a certain saying, okay? They have a saying that everybody has a gift that they're born with. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're in the ashram or not in the ashram, doesn't matter who you are, everybody's born with a gift, and they call it the God-given gift. Okay, it's not under a mountain, it's not in the water, it's not hidden under a rock. You have it, you already have it, you just have to find it. And this God-given gift is something that you use to share Krishna consciousness. How do you know what your God-given gift is? Sometimes people ask me, I think it's similar to what we call finding our nature. Isn't it, finding our nature? People often ask, have you heard that question, Prabhu, how do I know my real nature? So there is a very interesting thing they say. They say your God-given gift is something that you can do the best with the least amount of effort. Okay? You can do it really well with the least amount of effort. It just naturally comes to you. And if you focus on that, then you'll be very successful. A lot of times people... when people think about pursuing something, they're thinking about their passion, what they're passionate about. Now, passion is very different to your gift. Okay, passion is different. You may be passionate about something, but you may not be good at it. You may really like it, but it may not be your nature. Okay, like, I'll give an example. I'm very passionate about swimming. Okay? I love swimming, but whenever I finish the lap, it's like I'm having an asthma attack, okay? By the time I'm at the end, I'm like really struggling to breathe, and I keep thinking, okay, I like swimming, but this is not really working for me. And I tried meditation, I tried focus, changing my posture, doesn't matter what I do. By the time I get to the end of my first lap, I'm like struggling for breath. Another thing is also because I learned swimming in a swimming pool, the only way I can turn around is if I go to the end, hold the wall, and then turn around. So potentially, I can only swim in a straight line. So once we went on a holiday and to Tenerife last year, and I thought I could go swimming in the sea. But the problem is, I can't turn around. So my wife was like, why don't we go swimming in the sea? I'm like, well, I can't. And I was thinking, what if like I'm swimming, and then if a shark approaches me, okay? And it's swimming right at me, I'm swimming right at the shark. So I have two options. One is stop swimming, so then I just drown straight away. And the other is carry on swimming, then I'm swimming straight at the shark. So my best strategy would be just keep swimming at the shark, and then just when I get to the shark, I hold the shark and turn around and then swim really fast. But that may not work. But the point is, I'll still run out of breath because I can't. The point, anyway, we're digressing from the point. But the point is that I'm really passionate about swimming, but I can't swim. It's not my thing, okay? But I like running. I can run. I can run for miles and miles and miles. I can keep going like Forrest Gump, okay? I can keep going. So I'm naturally good at something. Then why don't I just take that, what is my God-given gift, which comes to me naturally, and I'm very good at it, and turn that into a way to share Krishna consciousness, okay? Some people are not good with people, as in, not like that. I mean, like, they can't speak to new people, they can't start a conversation, they're too shy, they may be very scared, maybe it's not their thing. Well, that's okay, you can work behind a computer, and you can preach through the internet, okay? Nowadays, the thing is, if you think about it, you have to just be a bit creative, and if the traditional ways don't work for you, then try something non-traditional. Figure out your own way, figure out whatever you're good at, do that, and preach in that way, and then you'll be very successful in sharing Krishna consciousness. Now, book distribution is great, and I think that everybody should try book distribution for a while, at least. If it's not, even if it's not your nature, it's good to try it because it really helps you build character. It really helps you be humble. I remember once a few years ago when Shivram Maharaj was here and he came here to do book distribution. Do you remember? And then he said something very interesting. He said, in ISKCON, I'm a Swami. He goes, wherever I go, people are, you know, people come to me and, you know, you get the respect and you get looked after. On the street, nobody cares who you are. It's like whether you're a Swami or doesn't matter who you are, they'll just tell you the same things they tell anybody else on the street. So it really humbles you, okay? So for developing humility, for developing character, and for learning how our movement started back in the day, it's good to try out some book distribution, and it is a direct way of engaging in Krishna consciousness, okay? So my thing would be everybody should, you know, like the moments, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. You know, the moments and the Jehovah's Witness have this thing that you have to give 2 years of your life to the mission. Doesn't matter who you are, you give 2 years of your life to the mission. You have to do that. And so people take time off and for 2 years they just go on missionary work. If you can't do that, the Jehovah's Witnesses have another thing where they published this magazine called The Watchtower. And if you are a Jehovah's Witness, you have to get The Watchtower a certain number of magazines every week. Okay, they will just post it to you. You have to pay a subscription. In ISKCON, we become free members, isn't it? We join the movement, and then we're members for free. We don't pay anything. Sometimes we never make a donation in our whole life in the temple. We come here and you know, we take from the temple, which is okay. The temple's there to give. But at the same time, you can't be a Jehovah's Witness until you give. You can't be a member for free. You have to pay them a subscription. And they will send you books every week. They will send you The Watchtower. And they don't care how, but you have to distribute those every week. Okay, every week you'll get magazines, or every month, whatever it is. But you pay a subscription, you get a magazine, and then figure it out however you want to do it, whether you want to do it on the street, you want to give it to your friends, you want to set up a stall on the side of the street, but you have to distribute those magazines one way or another. That's why you see sometimes when you go into London, people on their lunch break, they'll be out by the tube station giving out magazines, okay, doing the quota for the week. So the point is, if we're taking something from the movement, we have to learn to give. And giving something, it's not just your way of giving back to the movement, but you are actually performing a very important role of being part of the parampara, which is to hear and to chant, to hear and to teach. Okay? It is part of you being in the parampara to take this knowledge and to share this knowledge with somebody else. So I think everybody should tell the children to spend at least 1 year in the ashram. What do you think, Paramakaran Prabhu? That'll, huh? Make it five. Okay, let's do one, and then you can do the other pitch for the other four. But if everybody spends 1 year in the ashram, 6 months of the sabbatical, 6 months of the sabbatical, and another 6 months just sharing, going out on book distribution, and whatever else I do, but sharing Krishna consciousness. If everybody gives 1 year to the ashram, and all the parents can tell the children right from when they are about three. I remember I saw Paramakaruna once in the shoe room, and there was a five-year-old putting his shoes on, and Parama goes, "Do you want to join the ashram?" And he's putting the word in, like, right now, so it's in the consciousness. So I think if everybody gives 1 year to the ashram, it'll keep the parampara going. So I think there's a lot we can learn from other places as well. But the idea is that preaching means the desire and the effort that you put to share Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean you have to distribute 1,000 books a year, or it doesn't mean you have to go out on Harinam. If you can do these things, great. But one way or another, figure out your own way, what works according to your natural gift that you have. Okay? To share Krishna consciousness with somebody somehow. If you're feeling too shy to go out on books, if you're feeling too afraid to go out on Harinam, do it one way or another. But the point is that everybody has a responsibility to the parampara to learn and to teach to somebody. Okay, that is the idea about this. Sometimes people say, but Prabhu, everything is preaching, isn't it? Everything we do in Krishna consciousness is preaching. What do you think about that? Have you heard that before? Everything is preaching. Well, everything is preaching, but there is active preaching and there is passive preaching. That's why even in our parampara, there are Goshtianandis and there are Bhajanandis. The Bhajanandis are also preachers, okay, but the Goshtianandis are active preachers, where you consciously make an effort to go and share Krishna consciousness with somebody. And I think this consciousness, this conscious effort is very important, because otherwise you become, what do you call it? You become a miser. There's, I don't know where the story is, where there was once a tree, and this tree had all these fruits, but all the birds would fly past the tree, but none of the birds would eat the fruit, and nobody would ever visit that tree and eat the fruits of the tree. Let me find that reference for you. I think it's in one of the Puranas. And nobody ate the fruits of this tree. And the sage asked the other person, the young sage asked the older sage, why isn't anybody eating the fruits of this tree? And he said, because in his last life he was fully Krishna consciousness, but he never gave Krishna consciousness to anybody. He kept it all for himself and he never shared it with anybody. So now he was a fully ripened fruit, but he never shared his fruits with anyone. So now he's a tree with all these ripe fruits that no one wants. Like that. So the thing is, if we don't share Krishna consciousness, we become a bit, you know, miserly. We become like, I don't know, you start shriveling, isn't it? You need to start sharing Krishna consciousness. So if you can share Krishna consciousness one way or another, that's great. If you can preach, great. If you can't, do it in your own way. But try and do some active sharing of Krishna consciousness, okay? Passive is great, but active is better, because the movement needs to spread. So, what else can I say? I think I've said everything I need to say. Are there any questions so far? Oh, one last thing, actually, I forgot to say, is that You may think, I think we hear a lot about learning about Krishna consciousness and internalizing it, okay? And this internalizing is very important, hearing from the guru, internalizing, and trying to live and be that person, okay? Try and be the philosophy, not just learn the philosophy and quote the philosophy, but be the philosophy, and this is very important. But at the same time, doesn't matter how much you internalize things, if you think you're going to make it back to Godhead just by being perfect in your sadhana, then good luck, because I don't think that is a process in our movement. If you read a book called the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about two things. He says people who, there are two types of siddhas. Siddhas means those who have perfected their spiritual life. And one are called the sadhana siddhas, who perfect their life by practicing sadhana. And one are called the kripa siddhas, who have become perfect by receiving mercy, okay? By receiving the mercy. And then he does go on to explain that in fact, most people who make it back to Godhead are kripa siddhas. Because it doesn't matter how good a sadhana you practice, living in the material world, influenced by material things, it is very, very rare that just on the basis and strength of your sadhana alone, you're going to make it back to Godhead. Okay? It doesn't matter how much you internalize it. It's all important, but I don't think that's the only way. And he explains that most of the siddhas are kripa siddhas. So in other words, as I heard Kesha Maharaj say once, that we're all mercy cases. Okay, we're all mercy cases. We have to rely on the mercy. And how do you get the mercy? Do you know how you get the mercy? You get mercy when you give mercy. Okay? You give more, then you get more. That's how it works. So the thing is, if you want this mercy to be able to go back to Godhead, you learn, you study, you understand, you internalize, but then you share. Because when you give more, then you get more. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. We have 5 minutes. Do we have any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to share? So we have, where's the mic? Okay, you already have the mic, so you can go then Prayojan Prabhu, then Paramakaruna Prabhu. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yeah.
So you know, in this movement, making devotees every day on the streets and elsewhere.
Yeah.
So you talk about spiritual masters, and which I don't have one. Don't have one.
Yeah.
They're becoming very rare these days. We're cultivating disciples, devotees, but the numbers of spiritual masters stays the same. If anything, they're dwindling, going down, because they're leaving their bodies also. So how do we resolve this in the long run?
Is it a management question or is it a philosophical question? I don't know. I mean, I would say that, because based on what Srila Prabhupada said, from what I remember, this, if you do a search on Vedabase, you'll find something Prabhupada said every year, that every one of you should become a spiritual master. And I think personally that in the movement we need more spiritual masters. I think we need more gurus, because if there are millions of devotees practicing Krishna consciousness but only 120 gurus, then I think we have a problem with the ratio there. And I think we need more and more and more people. And it's not, people think that a guru is somebody who is established by the GBC, who's been told by the GBC that you're a guru now. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, you can only be a guru. You can't be a guru and then go somewhere and not have any disciples. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, hi there. How many disciples you got? Well, I haven't got any yet, but I'm still a guru. No, but you're not a guru unless you have disciples. So it is the disciple that makes you a guru, not the GBC. So I think if you like somebody who you would like to be initiated by, you can put them forward and they can be a spiritual master, and the GBC will approve of them to be spiritual masters. That's usually the way it works. You don't recommend, the GBC doesn't recommend, well, they may recommend, but they'll only recommend based on if people want to get initiated by them. I think we need definitely lots of spiritual masters. We need lots of gurus. to fill in the vacuum. But I hear you. I feel the same thing as you. But for now, I think you may want to just look for whoever's available, because it may be a while.
Have a supper dance?
Huh? If you keep waiting for the numbers to go up, I think you may be waiting for a while. So just, the point is to, it's like an electricity socket, you see. If you want to charge your phone, you don't need to like a particular socket. I mean, you may pick one based on convenience, whatever's closest to you, whatever's nice, but eventually you can plug in anywhere and it'll work. So as long as you're connected to somewhere in the parampara, as long as you're sitting somewhere on the train, it's okay. But if you can find a good spot on a train, that's obviously better. Instead of in the toilet or on the floor. But eventually you want to get to your destination. How you get there is a different story. Prayojan Prabhu, I think, had a point. If you need to go, you need to go. We're finishing in 2 minutes.
Two examples was Mother Kalangana and Jiva Patti. In both their interviews, Jiva Patti was asked by Bhagadatta Prabhu, why don't you give class? He says, I just don't want to. I don't feel comfortable. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And he said, but you've got so much knowledge. He said, no, I'm just not comfortable. And then Mother Kalangana was another person, but almost the opposite way, that she would go out and she said to anybody, can you say Hare Krishna? And she'd say that to everybody, even at the desk, in the hospital, wherever she went, can you say Hare Krishna? And so these are two almost opposites. But Jiva Patti was an example. But she was, free for all.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Parivajan Prabhu. I think Paramakaruna Prabhu had a question. Sorry, I don't know if any of the ladies have a question after. After you.
Thank you for the class, Guru. Just a couple of things. One is, in the previous verses, the four Kumaras are mentioned, and then just all of a sudden, Sankarshan is only speaking to Sanat Kumar.
Yeah.
Why specifically Sanat Kumar is only mentioned in this particular verse? And then we also hear about Sankhyayana Muni.
Yeah.
Who is, I don't know if you know who that is, or read anything about him.
So in answer to your first question, I think in one of the previous purports, Prabhupada mentions that Sanat Kumar is the head of the four Kumaras. So he is being a representative and is asking questions on their behalf. And that's why Sankarshan is speaking to him. That's my understanding.
Any reason why Sanat Kumar is the person?
I don't know. Any reason why you're the head of the ashram?
It was a mistake.
I don't know, maybe they elected him to be the leader. I think you need a spokesperson, isn't it? I don't know why. I don't know if there's a philosophical story or reasoning behind it, but I do know that in one of the purports, Prabhupada did mention that he's the head of the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumar. That's why even one of the parampara lines comes through Sanat Kumar, the Kumar Sampradaya. He's the head of the Sampradaya. But I don't know why he is such. Sankhyayana Muni, I don't know who he is. But I don't know if someone else does. I'm sure he's someone important. He's in the parampara. But I don't quite know what he did. Ladies, does any of the ladies have any questions? No? Okay, anybody else on this side? Yes, Prabhu, last one, and then we call it today.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very nice. One of friend was asking last week, he had three kids, but when...
Three children.
And so he was more interested that children should get also into, as you said, everyone should come to ashram kind of thing in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, prachar things. Yeah. But their wife said... first, they need to complete. We need to bring up their own. They need to, any time, like Prabhupada took so much time.
Yeah.
So we should also take them time and we need to make them Western first, then go to outside.
Yeah.
But the time is so less, like Bangladesh and all things happening.
Yeah.
So how we can suggest them? And
so what you do is, before you get married, you ask your wife, your to-be wife, our kids are spending 2 years in the ashram. Are you okay with that? If she says yes, then you marry her. If she says no, then you find somebody else.
Good idea. Haribol.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Chai.